May 15th in Israel, Palestine. May 15th is Israel Independence Day. It's also the 75th commemoration of the Nakba, Arabic for catastrophe, which was a direct result of the creation of Israel on May 15th, 1948. It is a recipe for disaster anywhere in the universe where a native or indigenous population is displaced in order to impose a nation state. But that's what happened in Israel. In my view, the creation of Israel, along with the invasion of Iraq, are the two most destabilizing acts in post-World War II world that we have. The Nakba refers to the ethnic cleansing of Palestine, the near total destruction of the Palestinian society in between 1947 and 1949. Close to 800,000 Palestinians from 1.9 million were forcibly displaced from their homeland. About 15,000 Palestinians were killed in a series of mass atrocities, including more than 70 massacres. Although commemorated on May 15th, the Nakba had been well underway prior to that. According to an Al Jazeera article that's called "The Nakba Did Not Start or End in 1948, from December of 1947, 6 months prior to Israel's creation, for that six-month period prior to the creation, Zionist paramilitary terror groups forcibly expelled about 440,000 Palestinians from over 200 villages. And prior to May 15th, 1948, some of the most horrifying massacres had already been committed, such as Deir Yassin on April 9th, 1948, about 110 Palestinian men, women, children were slaughtered. Israeli historian Ilan Pape, in his seminal book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, wrote, of those killed at the Deir Yassin massacre, 30 were babies, according to Ilan Pape. Contrary to international law, Israel prohibited in the 48-49 period, and still to this day prohibits both externally and internally displaced Palestinians from returning to their homes in Israel's quest for demographic superiority. On November 29, 1947, the UN passed a partition proposal, its UN General Assembly Resolution 181. It was accepted by a vote of 33-13, 10 abstentions. The United States and the USSR voted for it. Britain abstained. It's kind of notable that Britain abstained because it started the ball rolling. Britain did. Started the ball rolling for imperial powers to back Israeli nationhood with the Balfour Declaration in 1917, promising to help, quote, establish in Palestine a national home for the Jewish people, essentially promising to give away an entity that was not theirs to give away. Remember, the British ruled Palestine from 1918 until May 14th, 1948. The UN partition plan assigned 52% of the land to the fledgling Jewish state and 45% to the Arab state. Jerusalem and Bethlehem comprised 3%, and that would be under international control. The plan would have caused almost half of the indigenous Palestinian population to be converted overnight into a minority under Israeli rule. And at the time of the UN partition plan, The Jews in Palestine were one-third of the population, yet receiving 52% of the land, and they owned less than 6% of the total land area. Yet again, under this UN partition plan, not only were they given a majority of the land, but Israel in this new map would encompass many of the main cities with Palestinian Arab majorities, and also have the critical coastline from Haifa to Jaffa. Palestinians were deprived of seaports, deprived of the key agricultural lands. Naturally, the Palestinians and the Arab League rejected this proposal. It was unfair, and the Zionist leadership accepted it. War broke out, and I'll steer you to an informative read. It's linked at the Gaza Corner section. It's called "This is the Biggest Myth About Israel and the Nakba." Quote, "It is one of the most enduring myths surrounding the 1948 war, the epic battle between a fearsome Arab Goliath and a newborn Israel to liberate Palestine. It's a fable that continues to inflict harm today," quoting from the article. "But the war was not a little Israeli David facing a giant Arab Goliath. It was a highly motivated and relatively organized Israel fighting a fragmented Arab coalition whose governments entered the war to compete for their slice in Palestine." The myth of Israel's military inferiority has been debunked by Israeli historians themselves. According to Avi Shalaim, at each stage of the war, the Israeli forces outnumbered and outgunned all the Arab forces mobilized against it. At the end of the war, the 1947-49 war, Israel controlled 78% of Palestine, one-third of the population. They were given by the UN 52% according to the plan. Now they owned 78%. In the years that followed the establishment of Israel, ethnic cleansing has been continuous. Ilan Pappe refers to it as incremental genocide. Today, Israel occupies more than 85% of historic Palestine. When Palestinians claim that Israel's ultimate goal is not Palestinian statehood, but Palestinian expulsion and gaining all of historic Palestine, there's really no reason to doubt it. Journalist Peter Beinart, in an opinion piece also linked at the Gaza Corner section, it's titled, "Could Israel Carry Out Another Nakba?" And by that he means another one on a great scale like that in 48. He points out that expelling Palestinians from historic Palestine is a common sentiment right now in Israeli society and politics, especially with Jewish supremacist government leaders like Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich. Smotrich is Israel's finance minister. He oversees the civilian administration in the West Bank. He oversees settlement expansion. And he openly states that Palestinian emigration is essential to solving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. In other words, he's saying getting rid of Palestinians is essential for peace. Ben-Gvir is of the same sentiment. Smotrich told his Palestinian colleagues in the Knesset that they were, quote, "here by mistake because Ben-Gurion didn't finish the job and throw you out in 1948, unquote. Opposition leader Benny Gantz acknowledged in February of this year, quote, "Smotrich wants to cause another Palestinian Nakba. For him, escalation is a desirable thing," unquote. Beinart explains in his opinion piece that to understand how mainstream the idea of ethnically cleansing Palestinians is in contemporary Israeli society, it helps to understand how mainstream that idea was in Zionist and throughout Zionist history. Quoting from his piece, The Nakba of 1948 was not an accident forced upon the Zionist movement by Palestinian rejectionism and Arab invasion. It was the answer to a problem that had bedeviled political Zionists since the movement's birth: how to create a Jewish state in a territory largely populated by Arabs. In 1938, David Ben-Gurion, who would become Israel's first prime minister, declared, quote, "I support compulsory transfer," unquote. It was at the heart of Zionist ideology, transferring Palestinians out of their homeland. It begs the question, why did the United Nations entrust the fate of so many Palestinians to a movement that had clearly included transfer in its ideology? The Nakba, again commemorated May 15th, continues to this day. Jonathan Kutab of Friends of Sabil, North America, wrote a piece called Ongoing Nakba. Again, another one linked at the Gaza Corner section. So much to dig into if you're interested in this topic. He describes three basic elements to the Nakba. All three were essential for the creation of a Jewish state in Palestine, and they all continue to operate today. The first is the expulsion of the almost 800,000 Palestinians from their homeland, intended to create a Jewish demographic majority. Another mass expulsion took place in 1967 during what is called the Naksa, N-A-K-S-A, which led to the displacement of some 430,000 Palestinians when Israel conquered the West Bank, Gaza, East Jerusalem, and the Golan Heights. The second element of the Nakba is the ongoing appropriation, which is a nice word for saying stealing, of Palestinian land and its dedication for exclusive Jewish use. Look no further than what's going on right now in Masafayata or in Jerusalem's Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood, among other places. Jonathan Kutab explains a third element that may not be so obvious. It's the, quote, intentional destruction, cancellation, and denial of Palestinian identity markers, structures, and institutions. When I attended Hebrew school, I was indoctrinated with slogans such as land without a people for a people without land, where Israel turned a desert into the land of milk and honey. That's what we were taught. Dehumanizing rhetoric is commonplace, such as the denial that there ever existed such a thing as Palestine. Or you hear people high up in Israeli society and in the government saying there are no such thing as Palestinians. Even placing a Palestinian flag outside your home is prohibited. Kutab even brings up the appropriation of Palestinian food, such as falafel and hummus, claiming them to be Israeli. The ultimate in dehumanization is describing Palestinians as terrorists, which you hear so much on the mainstream media. When conducting legitimate acts of resistance or anti-Semitic charges when opposing Zionism or opposing the Israeli government. Earlier this week, Palestinian-American congresswoman, who also just recently spoke in San Francisco, Rashida Tlaib, was initially prevented to hold an event at the U.S. Capitol Visitor Center to educate congresspeople and their staff about the Nakba. It was canceled by the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, who did so at the request of Zionist organizations who labeled the event as anti-Semitic, commemorating the Nakba. Fortunately, Bernie Sanders moved the event to a Senate conference room over which Speaker McCarthy had no jurisdiction. The Nakba continues. It continues in many forms, including home demolitions, arbitrary arrests, massive expansion of settlements on stolen Palestinian land, Palestinians living under occupation, unable to experience basic rights we take for granted, such as freedom of movement, not only in Gaza, but also in the West Bank, where it's only about 20 minutes from Jerusalem and many can't, are not allowed to go there. According to the United Nations, Israel killed more Palestinians in the West Bank and Jerusalem last year than in any year since 2006, when the Second Intifada was winding down. This year, the number of Palestinian deaths is on course to be significantly higher. Apartheid is also an aspect of an ongoing Nakba, where human rights groups have recorded some 50 laws, 50, that discriminate against Palestinian citizens who are inside Israel. I'm not talking about the ones under occupation who have no rights, but Palestinian citizens inside Israel. There are some 50 laws, including criminalizing the commemoration of the Nakba. And intrinsic to an ongoing Nakba is Israel's system of incarcerating Palestinians. Since 1948, more than 1 million Palestinians have been arrested by Israel. This according to the Palestinian Central Bureau of Statistics, many of them incarcerated with no charge, no due process, also known as administrative detention. Not only does the Nakba continue, but the world does nothing to stop it. And the United States is complicit. It continues to provide Israel essentially with unconditional financial, military, and diplomatic support. The theme music for Gaza Corner is by Adnan Jubran, and this is an extended piece from Adnan. Thank you.